I have to start today with an apology. I had something really special for us planned. As most of you know, my main way of blowing off steam is to get into 80 pounds of steel and go swing big sticks at other people and do some medieval recreation. Well, within that medieval group, there is an officer known as a seneschal. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to have the seneschal come out and do kind of a 20-20, 60 minutes interview type thing on what a medieval steward did. It's not quite the same as in Jesus' day, but it's 1,000 years closer than we are now. But Jeff called me Friday morning and said his test for COVID came back positive. He ain't going nowhere for 2 weeks. So about Friday noon, I sat down and tried to make an interview into a monologue. So if this goes a little squirrely, I ask your forgiveness and to bear with me. But you'll notice the title, Seneschal. That is an old German term. It's actually the old Saxon tongue of England. And it literally means him who watches over. He is the overseer for whether it's a small group, a barony, as my friend Jeff watches over, or whether it's larger, an entire kingdom, whatever. He is the one who watches over all the day-to-day operations and makes sure everything is going the way it's supposed to. And, you know, we look at the term steward in today's gospel reading, or servant. And those are good translations, too. But how often do we use the term steward in our modern life? Can you think of a non-church-related way of using that word? Environmental stewardship is one. A wine steward? Yeah, he who makes sure that, you know, there is a good selection. I believe it's a sommelier or something like that is his formal title. But how would we look at that term in our common usage? We might think of a steward as a manager, or perhaps in our business way of looking at things, we would call him the COO, the chief operations officer, the one who makes sure that the business is running the way it needs to run and doing all that. And as I was talking to Jeff about this, he said, you know, you as a pastor are a steward too. I'm like, excuse me? I know I am as a Christian, all Christians are. And he said, no, pastors are stewards of the mysteries of God, Paul says. I'd never thought about the office that way, being a steward. So I asked him, what does a steward do? And the basic answer is the steward makes sure that everything that the king, the master owns, is being put to use. So does that mean the steward owns any of the stuff he's using? You know, this whole concept of this is mine. You know, this is my robe or my stole or whatever. That as a concept didn't even exist until the 1600s. Everything you had by the king's leave. Your house, even if you're paying a mortgage and property taxes on it. belongs to the king. Your food, your clothing, everything, it all belongs to someone else, but you get to use it. So how are you using it? Yes, it's yours to live in, to drive, to wear, to eat, whatever. But we want to do that wisely. We want to do that in such a way that there is, to use business parlance, a return on investment, that we're actually getting something back from using all of this. Now, a steward reports directly or indirectly to the king. You know, then in the case of Jeff, he reports to a baron who then reports to the king. But if the king were to visit the barony, he would report directly to the king. But there's always this sense of an accounting is going to have to be made. Now, that can either be a joyous thing. I can picture the first two stewards, Larry and Curly, there coming in and with smiles on their faces, bringing the extra talents they earned. And poor old Mo, with a frown or something, saying, "Here you go. Here's a, you didn't lose anything, at least." But that's not what a steward is to be about. They are to be about using these things in such a way that it causes the kingdom to grow. And we see that in today's gospel reading especially. So would this be a source to make you smile or make you frown if, when you got to the pearly gates, God demanded your checkbook ledger? How would you feel about that? If God was going to look through all of your income and all of your expenses and say, did you steward this well? We usually don't think of heaven that way, but there is an accounting of how we have used the things we have been given. So how should we be using our various gifts? What are our King's, God's objectives? What does he want us to do? Do you have any thoughts? To know Christ and to make him known. Does your checkbook reflect that? Does how you spend your week reflect that? I think for many of us it does. You're here Sunday morning. You could be sitting home in your pajamas with your coffee and maybe flip on Zoom and just passively absorb what's going on. But you got dressed, you got cleaned up, you came out here. Why? To be in God's presence and to receive the gifts he wants to give you, those of word and of sacrament. Forgiveness, life, and peace. How do you use your talents, your skills? I know some of us are really, really good talkers. We could just go on and on and on, right? Yeah, I see a couple people rolling their eyes. You know who you are. But that's why we have a phone ministry. People who love to talk have an opportunity to use that gift and use it to strengthen, to make Christ known to others in case they have forgotten or in case the pressures and weight of the world have caused them to lose sight of that, that they are known by God and redeemed by him. What other talents might you have that could be useful for expanding the kingdom of grace?
Teaching.
Okay. Yeah, these masks are getting in the way sometimes. Teaching. Well, we've seen some gifts being used this morning. How many of you would prefer to sing a cappella? Okay, so we have musicians using their gifts. We have people who understand technology, making sure the microphone is working and that we're able to Zoom. We have people who are good at accounting, taking care of the offerings. How else can we make sure that the kingdom here blossoms?
Friendships.
Yeah, I mean, we have our church service from 10:45 to, about 11:45, noon or so. And then what happens? Well, then we have church after church down at the Hampton Diner, right? And for some people, that church after church is the bigger thing because that's where the fellowship is happening. That's where the friendships are being made. That's where we're encouraging and uplifting each other, even as Paul encourages us to do. So there's all sorts of ways to use the talents that we've been given. Now, Jeff and I, we're going to go through the big three of time, talent, and treasure. Time is certainly an important thing we have to steward. I mean, we've all been given the same 24 hours, right? In each day. Is anyone running on a 26-hour day? It would be nice because 24 ain't enough time to get everything done that needs to be done, right? So how do you use your time wisely and to build up the kingdom, to turn your five talents into five more? Any thoughts on Christian time management?
Raising the next
generation, spending time with the kids and the grandkids, great grandkids if you're so blessed. Anything else? Thank you, Dad. That was Luther's way of time management. His many of his prayers in the morning, he said, I have to start my day with prayer because I have so much to get done. If I don't start it with prayer, it's going to overwhelm me. But if we start the day with prayer, if we get our priorities in line, then maybe we'll get the important stuff done first, and the stuff that's urgent but not important can filter in as time permits. So time management is a critical skill to live as a child of God. How we prioritize things, how we spend our days. And then there's also, talents that we just talked about. How well does any organization, be it a church or a business or a club, do when you get a warm and semi-willing body to do a job. It functions. Does it do well? Now, what happens when you get somebody who really knows whatever task you want them to do, who's got the talent for it, who's got a passion for it, and you put them in the positions? Is that a different organization? The results are going to be radically different. And so a seneschal or a steward, part of their job is to make sure the right people are doing the right things. You don't want the person in charge of embroidery to be teaching the fighters how to fight. That's not going to work out so well. Needlepoint and swordplay don't intersect at all. Same thing happens to us as a church. We need to have the right people doing the right things. And if people say, well, I really don't have time for it, going back to the time management thing, or I'm not sure if that's my thing, what happens to the organization? It suffers. It contracts. It gets smaller. So there's all sorts of different talents that need to be managed, and talents that maybe there's not a pigeonhole for them to go into. Maybe we need to be creative in the use of our talents. I heard somebody sent an email around yesterday with the thought of, hey, we might be on lockdown again by Christmas, but there's no reason why we couldn't do a drive-through living nativity. I never thought of that. Do it as a drive-through, and you don't have to get out of your car. You don't have to violate the 6-foot social distance. Even if we're locked down, you're still allowed to leave your house. That could work with the right talents. People actually doing the various things that need to be done. But then there's a third issue as well. And that's where a steward has to oversee the physical supplies. That could be finances. It could be a building. It could be a tractor. It could be whatever. How are these things, the treasures, going to be used to further the kingdom? Because even if you have all the time in the world and all the talents, if people don't have what they need to do the job you're asking them to do, it's not going to get done. But we have to be able to resource and equip as well to be successful. So the seneschal would also be in charge of the treasury. It all belongs to God, but he's given it to us to use to make his kingdom grow. So that's part of our stewardship as well. It's not easy being a steward, but it can be joyful. There's stress, there's sacrifice, there's, you know, if you say this is more important than this, then, you know, whatever was less important may get neglected, and you may anger some people. But there's also great joy in making God's kingdom the place to be, in furthering that, in seeing people grasp that their sins have truly been paid for, that they are free from guilt, from shame, from fear, that they are loved. Loved by the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth himself. Loved and accepted and brought into a new family, a new fellowship, a new tribe. We get to be part of that. So I don't know if you're feeling like Larry or Curly here and the first two that doubled everything, or maybe you're feeling a little bit like Mo. Well, dig that talent up. Dust it off. Put it to use. See where good stewardship can bring you great joy, love, and peace. May that same peace of God which passes our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.